The recent furor over Oregon's Elliott State Forest has subsided a bit, and the state talked about selling the forest into private hands, then decided against that move. But a change in the status of the forest in Coos and Douglas counties is still quite possible, and closely watched by conservation groups, including Cascadia Wildlands, where Josh Laughlin is the campaign director and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Josh, welcome.
Good morning, Jeff.
It's good to have you here again. So we're talking about 93,000 acres in the Elliott State Forest. How did this property come to be in state hands in the first place?
Oh, great question. Yeah, there's a long and interesting history. Well, when Oregon became a state in 1859, the federal government gave the state every section 16 and 36 on the map in the state of Oregon for the sole purpose of funding education. And a lot of that land was sold, traded, swapped, grazed, leased. The state was basically allowed to do whatever it wanted to in order to raise revenue for schools. And in the early part of the 1900s, Francis Elliott, Oregon's first state forester, and Governor Oswald West had the foresight to actually trade some of the remaining blocked-up lands, scattered parcels, with the Siuslaw National Forest, actually, and got what's known today as the Elliott State Forest. It was actually formerly the Siuslaw National Forest, a 93,000-acre block of rainforest just east of Coos Bay.
But you mentioned the Common School Fund here, or something about school funding, and that is actually the engine that the Elliott State Forest is supposed to drive, or at least provide into. I'm using a bad metaphor here, but there's a big connection between school money and the Elliott.
Yeah. There's a mandate to generate revenue on the Elliott State Forest for the Common School Fund, which is a $1.2 billion fund managed by the Treasurer's Office. And timber receipts have historically been pumped into that from the Elliott State Forest. However, due to the looming extinction crisis for a number of species that require these intact old-growth rainforests just inland from the Pacific Ocean, like the marbled murrelet and the imperiled coastal coho salmon, logging has been scaled back significantly over the last few years on the Elliott, to the point in which it no longer makes sense for the state to try and clear-cut old growth to fund school kids anymore. It's a real outdated, antiquated arrangement, and we're working now to find a new arrangement that's more in line with modern-day values that Oregonians hold dear, like
Josh, is there any other state property charged with the task of raising money in quite the way that the Elliott is?
Yeah, you know, a lot of states in the West have trust lands, and Oregon's not the first state to go through the challenges it's going through now. For example, up in Washington, there's a program there that allows these trust lands to be transferred out of the trust arrangement due to their outstanding conservation value. So we're hoping to see a mechanism like that or something similar come into play here in Oregon in the near future to see these outstanding remaining old-growth forests decoupled from funding school children. It's really an outdated approach, kind of like killing elephants for ivory.
Josh Laughlin, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, campaign director at Cascadia Wildlands. We're talking about the Elliott State Forest. Join in if you'd like, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So is there a dollar amount set for the Elliott every year, or a board foot target set in management plans?
Yeah, the state's been going really through an identity crisis over the last 15 years or so. Trying to manage the Elliott. There's always been a push on the state's end to ramp up the cut, to log more and try and raise more money. And that came to a point a couple years ago in which they tried to raise the cut again, and they were met with a federal district court injunction for illegal logging of the old growth forests, these primary rainforests that have never been logged before. And that really set the stage for a new conversation with the state on how to proceed and how to manage the Elliott into the future that's legal, that satisfies the Common School Fund mandate on the forest, and that also satisfies the Federal Endangered Species Act that safeguards these species teetering on the brink of extinction.
I had a chance to look at the comparison with the management plans put out by the folks at the Elliott themselves. So they were looking at changing the 1995 management plan at something like 25 million board feet a year to 40 million board feet a year in the plan that was set up in 2011. Is that about what the figures that you see?
Yeah. And when they try and go for a figure like that, they end up logging illegally, and that's what the federal district court found. And again, that's what's reset the conversation now. And it seems pretty clear that the state land board, which is made up of the governor, the secretary, and the treasurer, want to proceed with a plan that A, is legal, and B, that satisfies its obligations both under the school fund mandate and the Endangered Species Act. And I believe there's a way forward, and I believe the state land board believes there's a way forward. And for the next couple months, we're going to see a process really continue that drills into looking at how to best decouple the Elliott State Forest from the Common School Fund. And there's going to be an ongoing public process that looks at what those options could be.
What had the state been considering then? I know the land board met a week ago yesterday, and coming into that meeting, what were some of the expectations about what might have transpired?
Yeah, well, they actually did make a recommendation moving forward, and that's to further explore for the next few months how to really decouple the Elliott from the Common School Fund. And what that means really is how to, if you will, buy out the Common School Fund mandate through either a subsidy or a public-private entity or a land trust organization that can buy out that school fund mandate, pay that off. That would get put into the $1.2 billion Common School Fund, which is earning approximately 10% a year over the last few years. So really, it's almost a no-brainer when the status quo, trying to clear-cut old growth on the Elliott, is losing money every year because it can't proceed due to it being illegal. So they're really going to be spending time looking into those options of decoupling, and the public has been very loud and clear that they want to see the Elliott State Forest maintained in public ownership for its hunting and fishing values, for its salmon and wildlife values, for the clean water that it provides, for the towering old-growth forests, and all the other outstanding attributes that it offers Oregonians.
Josh, what does the Common School Fund do in the sense of when there is money coming in off the Elliott State Forest? Does it go into principal, and then is the interest that just is spent on schools?
Yeah, great question. So any proceeds, any net revenues that are generated off the Elliott, and for example, the 5 years leading up to the logging injunction a couple years ago, the net revenue that came off the Elliott through timber receipts was just over $5 million. So each year, those net revenues are deposited into the $1.2 billion fund. And again, that huge fund, that corpus is generating approximately 10% return on investment. And two draws each year are taken out of that Common School Fund and sent to the K-12 school districts across Oregon, and those distributions are based on the size of the school district. For example, this year, approximately $50 million will be distributed from the Common School Fund across Oregon. So it's really actually just a drop in the bucket compared to the larger school budget for K-12 across the state. It's just one source of school funding.
Josh Laughlin, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, campaign director at Cascadia Wildlands. We're talking about the Elliott State Forest. You can join us soon at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like there are a couple of options now before the land board, but selling it to private hands is not one of them.
Yeah, there was loud and resounding opposition over the last 4 or 5 months when the state went through a public engagement process. You know, locals in Coos Bay, adjacent landowners to the Elliott, hunters, anglers, the commercial fishermen, conservationists, recreation enthusiasts, all really said loud and clear, we do not want to see this disposed to the to private hands. So the state heard that loud and clear. In fact, you know, I hand counted the comments that were received, 1,147 out of 1,185 comments that were received during the public process, which represented 97%, encouraged the department to protect the forests and not dispose of them to the timber industry. And the state recognized that, acknowledged that at the land board meeting last week, and it's my belief they're going to proceed with drilling into option three, which is figuring out how to best decouple the Elliott from the Common School Fund while safeguarding its outstanding values that mean so much to Oregonians and fish and wildlife and others that enjoy the Elliott.
Let's take a call here. We have Pam and Dexter on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Josh Laughlin. We're talking about the Elliott State Forest.
Hi. Well, I love what Cascadia Wildlands does. Thank you, Josh. My question is, I've been researching the carbon offsets, and private forest owners in Pennsylvania are getting paid for growing forests and not cutting them and getting paid for the carbon offsets, because I've also heard that the forests in Western Oregon are some of the best, if not the best, forests for sequestering carbon, especially the old-growth, uncut forests. So have you looked into the potential for getting paid? I mean, I know the timber industry would hate it for us to not cut. I mean, I can see the conflict, but it just seems like that's the way we should be going.
All right, thanks for that, Pam. Appreciate it. Josh?
Yeah, you know, there's a good question. Thanks for that, Pam. There's been a fair amount of research done on that specifically with the Elliott, and that being a possible component of a solution. Unfortunately, you know, with the lands being public lands, not to get into all the details behind carbon offsets, but because they are public lands and they can't show a whole lot of what's called additionality, there's a tough case to be made in terms of large payments. However, there's developing markets. You know, for example, California now has its own cap and trade system that's off the ground, and it's my understanding they're working with different parts of the country and the world, if I've been reading it correctly, to utilize different offsetters. And those offset providers are being paid, like places like forests in Mexico, to keep their forests vertical, you know, to basically compensate for carbon polluters in California. So those markets are young, as I understand them, and are continuing to develop. But, you know, Pam, the caller, is absolutely right. These forests here in Western Oregon, these old-growth forests, store more carbon per acre than any other ecosystem in the world, so thereby mitigating climate change at no cost to us. So there's really a concerted effort going into trying to figure out how to best capitalize on that and get paid for that. So that conversation's definitely not over and really is in its infancy. So thanks for bringing that up.
Any pressure back from school people about wanting to maintain the coupling between the Elliott State Forest and the Common School Fund?
Well, you'll hear comments all across the board, but for the most part, you know, what we're hearing is, you know, we need to find a new arrangement that is in line with 21st century values. I mean, really, clear-cutting remaining priceless old-growth rainforest to fund school children is a really out-of-date model, and there's not really an appetite for it. So the great majority of what we're hearing is we need a new way forward that's more in line with values that Oregonians hold so dear.
How soon are we likely to hear something out of the state land board about a move ahead? It sounds like several months.
Yeah, the state, again, is going to spend the next probably 6 months really drilling into what they're calling option three, this decoupling option. And they'll likely put out a request for information or proposals from all those that may be interested in participating in finding a solution that works for the state land board and its obligation to the Common School Fund, that works for fish and wildlife that's teetering on the brink of extinction, and that works for Oregonians who want to ensure that the Elliott is maintained for open access for its outstanding hunting and fishing opportunities and all those other great reasons to keep it in public ownership.
More to come on the Elliott State Forest for sure. Josh Laughlin is the campaign director at Cascadia Wildlands. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity this morning.